The next case on the court's calendar is McNabb versus, could you help me with the pronunciation? Kisalishin. And the case number is 823-1573. Let's see, respondent is pro se, so she will not be presenting arguments today. We'll just hear from counsel on behalf of appellant. Would you introduce yourself for the record and present your argument?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court, Chris Zawiski, appearing ZEWISD, the appellant, John Kisalishin. We're here today on a August 2023 order that found my client to be a frivolous litigant. This was after a 15-year divorce, post-decree motions, lots of things. The district court, throughout the proceedings, the last order, August 2023, found that both parties had contributed to this, but my client had not brought a motion at that time for frivolous litigancy. The other side had. I think there are two problems with the court's order on this. First and foremost is that under the rule, Minnesota General Rules of Practice 9, there is a safe harbor provision that is required. That safe harbor provision was missed both in the fall and in the spring when they had the modified amended motion. And that is...
The test here? Because your client never withdrew the motion that was pending, correct, for the 9 month period of time?
Correct, between the continuances.
Yeah. So there was plenty of time, I mean, many multiples of the 21 days. So how did the district court err? I mean, why is this such a hard and fast deadline that even though there were months?
I'll try and answer it two ways.
Yeah.
Why is it a hard and fast deadline? And I think that's the easier answer because the rule says it is. It's a shall, not a may. And so if you miss those 21-day deadline, the rule says it shall. This court's opinion on those issues is set forth in Sarzynski and Berenbach, which I've quoted in the brief. The second part is harder, and I agree with that. The problem is there was an amended motion. Now, my client brought his motion, and that motion stayed there, but the other side brought an amended motion and served him with it, but missed the deadline again. And so if you're bringing an amended motion asking for new things, I think it's intellectually dishonest for the district court to tell you at that point that this isn't a new motion from them. Otherwise, why amend it? If it hadn't been amended and you were dealing with the original motions brought in the fall, I think definitely that would be an argument the court could make. Look, we had these two things. She served. We pushed out this hearing date 9 more months. Okay, you knew, and if you weren't going to withdraw it then we need to have our discussion as to whether there's a Rule 9 frivolous litigant motion and a hearing on that, and then the issues become clear. But that didn't happen here. The other side brought an amended motion, and I think that is a problem for them, and I think it's a problem for the district court. The district court, in its footnote and its conclusion, recognizes that the safe harbor provisions were not met. I think on that grounds alone, it has to go back.
So was the district court found that the amended motion was basically identical to the original motion? Did the district court make a mistake there? And if so, what was it?
Well, what the district court's language is essentially identical, but it's not. There are different motions in there, and then that's why it was amended. I mean, if the petitioner below had decided they were just going to go with the motion that they had done in the fall, there would have been no need to amend. So there were obviously changes. I don't know off the top of my head how drastic those changes were, but an amended motion was filed, which means changes were made, at least to the filing. And if you're then filing, there is a specific requirement under the rule. And I think you have to file that if you're filing an amended motion to do that. The second major issue here, and it goes to the Rule 9 discussion, and the court did significant findings about the history of this case and of how it applied to the current frivolous litigant motion and its subsequent order. The problem here is that the court conflates two things in its order. One, it uses the past history as a way to say he's a frivolous litigant, but doesn't consider what the actual motion he's making is, which is the Rule 60 vacation request that he brought to this court. And this court said he was entitled to a hearing. The July 26th order of this court, I believe it was Your Honor who may have signed it, basically said no hearing was held and there could be no appeal unless there was a final order, and that he was entitled because the court had said in its prior order that he had brought up that you could still bring that motion. So,
which order said he could still bring that motion?
So, this court quoted the district court order that said that he could bring a motion at any time on that issue. So, this court said you can't appeal it because it's not a final order. Fair. But what it said is that the district court has recognized he can bring this motion. So he did. And if the court looks at the record on this, because the district court had set in place specific provisions for both parties to follow, to file a motion, he went through that process. And the district court, after he had put in a letter and his motion papers, granted him the right to move forward with the motion on the Rule 60 vacation.
Of what? The attorney's fee award?
Correct. So a brief history on that, a side note, is that there had been two contempt orders in this case that found that he was in contempt of court for failure to support his ex-wife's parenting time with the minor child. The minor child then turned 18, became an emancipated minor, and this court dismissed the appeal as moot and vacated the two contempt orders. And in that order, the court said in dicta, in the last paragraph, this issue was not brought to us, but there is an attorney fee issue. And that order issued at the same time as the contempt orders. We don't rule on that because we don't have it in front of us.
No, that's not what the panel said. The panel said that those attorney's fees are not related to the reason why they're vacating the contempt order. They were attorney's fees that related to an earlier period of time. So are those is there something wrong with, I've got the case right in front of the opinion right in front of me.
I do
so
too.
Am I misreading that? Are you telling me that?
I think that's a little, yes. The Court of Appeals certainly says that within the paragraph. But it also says this issue is not in front of us. So that is a dicta discussion by this court. This court didn't look at the facts underlying that decision because it couldn't. So to suggest that that paragraph is a decision on whether those fees were appropriately generated during the contempt proceedings or at a prior time is not for this court to decide at that time. It's for a district court on
the hearing. The district court's order said they're for a prior time, not in connection with the contempt that's vacated by in A-20-1172, correct? Or am I wrong about that?
Well, there's a mixture. And I think that is fair for him to go back and ask what that mixture exactly is. The court lays out in its August 1st order, 2019, on the
fees.
Isn't
that a motion for reconsideration, in essence, of a 2019 prior order of the district court?
Well, and that's what the district court is arguing. I think he has a right to bring a motion to ask for the Rule 60 relief because the other orders upon which the attorney fee order was based were vacated. And he's listed case law to the district court on this issue, and he still hasn't had a hearing on it. A hearing would have been, the district court could say, nope, we disagree.
Well, isn't that in essence what the district court was saying? As I looked at that motion and I think it's frivolous, I think the odds of prevailing are pretty much nil.
The district court did say that. I think that becomes a difficult discussion to have if you've never had a hearing on it. But, and I'm going to kind of piggyback this then by saying, it's difficult for me to understand how the district court can make that assumption as a frivolous litigant claim, right, as part of the discussion, if he's never been given a hearing on the litigation the court is now saying makes him a frivolous litigant. So if what you're saying is that his motion to reopen the judgment and decree or vacate the judgment decree under Rule 60 is the basis for the frivolous litigant action, because that's what it would have to be, because under Rule 9, the case...
Rule 60 relates to judgment on the attorney fees.
Correct.
That were mentioned at the end of this A-20-1172, I think.
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I'm
following. And so if under Rule 9, you are in front of a court for a motion hearing... let me rephrase that. If you have brought your motion hearing for Rule 60 vacation or relief, and the court uses Rule 9, the other side says you're a frivolous litigant, let's, for the sake of argument, that they got the safe harbor provision in, which they didn't, but you go in, you have that discussion under Rule 9. Rule 9 talks about specific cases, right? What are we here for? It's not the past history of the case. I mean, that is a relevant factor, and the court discussed it.
Well, couldn't your client argue everything he was going to raise in a separate motion hearing, though, in that Rule 9? I mean, that's your opportunity to say, yeah, I filed this motion. Well, no, skip that. So I've got another question for you.
Well, if I could just quickly, before you ask the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Under Rule 9, you have to have the Rule 9 part first. And then you would have the secondary order. If it is found not to be frivolous litigant, then you can move forward on the motion hearings that were requested.
Exactly, which then leads perfectly into where I was going next, which is that all the district court did here was say, okay, you can go forward, but you have to follow the procedures in my order. And because the Rule 9 has to come first, your client can still pursue the Rule 60 if he complies with the Rule 9 conditions. So what's wrong with that?
Well, except then you've put him into an unwinnable catch-22. Because if you're saying that you're a Rule 9 frivolous litigant because you brought a motion to vacate the judgment on attorney fees, if he then comes back and says, well, I want another hearing date on the motion to vacate the attorney fees, why would the court grant that motion? Why would the court grant a hearing date?
No, and you just told me that the Rule 9 has to be resolved first.
Yes.
And the district court specifically said in its order, follow the conditions I've set out here. And then if your client doesn't like that outcome, then your client can appeal from that.
Yes, except what will happen is presumably he will ask for a motion date, file his motion papers, and the court could say, well, wait a second. I already dismissed this. This is a repeat performance of what I've already dismissed because you're a frivolous litigant. And the other side may say...
Well, no, the court hasn't dismissed it. The court specifically said otherwise. So, and the attorney's fee motion is not in front of us now. That's part of the order that we issued in this appeal. So the merits of that are not in front of us.
He won't set the hearing date. In essence, what's happening here is the district court... So there was a set of guidelines and provisions in place for him to follow. He did that. He brought his motion. The court approved it and then refused to hear it as a frivolous litigant. What is to prevent the other side from filing another frivolous litigant motion and having another frivolous litigant hearing and the court saying, I already made a decision on the ability of you to win this?
But we're just speculating now. I mean, we've got to deal with what's actually in front of us. So you're saying that the district court is wrong when it concluded that the Rule 60 motion, the district court judge thought was not well-founded. And so why is that?
I am saying that because this court made a decision on a request for a hearing date on Rule 60 relief. He may not win it.
Right.
I don't know what happens there.
Right.
But he has never been granted the actual hearing.
Okay, I understand.
And they could say, look, here's your hearing, sir. You lose. And we're going to hammer you on attorney fees because you showed up again. But that would be a fair outcome here. That's what should have happened. But what they instead said is, we're going to use this because you've asked three times for this relief. We've never granted it. The Court of Appeals said you could still ask for a hearing. You followed the provisions that were correctly set forth in the previous court orders to get a hearing date. But now we're going to call you a frivolous litigant because you've asked for this stuff before. And they also used the history against him over and above those specific issues that he was raising on the issue of the Rule 60 relief. I see that I'm out of time unless there are other questions.
No, thank you for your argument.
Should I just stay here for my rebuttal? Thank you.
And I told you it would not necessarily be easier.
Oh, it was very enjoyable. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have visitors in the court this